الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على عبده الأمين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly and we ask Him to exalt the mention and grant peace and salutations and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-An'am, the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di alayhi rahmatullah. And we had concluded our discussion on ayah number 37. Wa alaykum salam, sir. And this morning, inshallah, we will initiate the discussion on ayah number 38, which reads, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa ma min dabbatin fil ardi wa la ta'irin يطير بجناحيه إلا أمم أمثالكم ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء ثم إلى ربهم يحشرون. The interpretation of the meaning in English more or less is, and there is no creature on or within the earth or bird that flies with its wings except that there are communities like you, meaning like you, who human beings and jinn. Because the Quran is addressing al-insu wal-jinn, right? Does Allah speak directly to the ins and jinn in ayah and the Quran? Does anyone know an ayah and the Quran where Allah spoke directly to the ins and jinn? An ayah where Allah Azza wa Jal addressed al-ins wal-jinn, or al-jinn wal-ins. Surah Ar-Rahman. Ya ma'ashar al-jinn wal-ins in istata'atum an tanfudhu min aqtar al-samawati wal-ardi fanfudhu la tanfudhuna illa bisultan. This is a direct address from Allah Azza wa Jal to ins and jinn. Because there are other ayat which says that Allah is speaking about al-ins wal-jinn, not necessarily addressing them directly. Anyway, so the umam here in reference to the Bani Adam wa al-jinn. We have not neglected in the register a thing. Then unto their Lord they will be gathered. The Shaykh rahimahullah says in his interpretation on this particular ayah, أي جميع الحيوانات الأرضية والهوائية وعليكم السلام من البهائم والوحوش والطيور كلها أمم أمثالكم خلقناها. All of the animals, the Shaykh said أرضية and هوائية. أرضية is earth based or ground based. هوائية is air based, meaning both creatures that walk upon earth and those which fly. From among the general cattle, beasts and birds, all of them are nations like unto you. كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَرَزَقْنَاهَا كَمَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. The way we created you, we created them, and the way we provided you, we provided them. وَنَفَذَتْ فِيهَا مَشِيئَتُنَا وَقُدْرَتُنَا. And basically, how to translate this one. Allah's will and decree is ultimately in full effect amongst these creations. The animal kingdom is not an exception to the qadr of Allah and the mashi'ah of Allah. Only whatever Allah Azza wa Jal wills happens. The same way it is with human beings. كَمَا كَانَتْ نَذِيفَةٌ فِيكُمْ. The same way it is with you, human beings. Everything is وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَيَّشَاءَ اللَّهِ. مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَيْ مَا أَهْمَلْنَا وَلَا أَغْفَلْنَا. إِهْمَال, who knows what إِهْمَال is? Say, رَجُلٌ مُهْمِل. Maybe. But ihmal is a byproduct of kasal. Kasal is laziness. What does laziness lead to? Negligence. Ihmal is someone who is negligent, someone who is careless. That's often a lazy person. Huh? وَلَا أَغْفَلْنَا أَغْفَلْنَا is heedlessness. To be heedless, to be absent-minded about what you need to be mindful of. فِي اللَّوْحِ الْمَحْفُوظِ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْأَشْيَاءِ So all this is in reference to the preserved tablet. That nothing has been left out. Nothing was forgotten. Nothing was dropped by mistake, out of carelessness or out of negligence. No such thing. في اللوح المحفوظ نعم بل جميع الأشياء صغيرها وكبيرها مثبتة في اللوح المحفوظ على ما هي عليه Everything, the small, the minute and that which is of importance Everything is recorded in the preserved tablet in the condition it is in فتقع جميع الحيوانات تبقى ما جرى به القلم So even the everything that has to do with the animals goes by exactly what has been written by the pen Because Allah commanded the pen to write everything that will happen. That included what happens in the animal kingdom. So when a lion, winds up chasing a deer and consuming it and killing it, all this was written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. Now, وفي هذه الآية دليل على أن الكتاب الأول قد حوى جميع الكائنات وهذا أحد مراتب القضاء والقدر In this ayah there is an evidence that the first book which is the preserved tablet has includes all creatures and this is one of the elements or one of the levels of our belief in the qada and the qadar the decree of Allah and the preordainment فإنها أربع مراتب because it's four levels علم الله الشامل لجميع الأشياء First, Allah's encompassing knowledge of everything that's the first وكتابه المحيط بجميع الموجودات and Allah's book which has encompassed all existence everything which is in existence ومشيئته وقدرته النافذة العامة لكل شيء and His will and His ability which is dominant in everything وخلقه لجميع المخلوقات حتى أفعال العباد and His creation of all the creatures including the actions of His slaves So, my movement right now, my movement, my speech are created by Allah. True or false? Your smile was created by Allah. True or false? Don't be scared. If you give the wrong answer, no one will punish you. Well, I won't. Maybe your dad will. I don't know. True? What do you say? What do you say? What's the evidence for that? Huh? Okay, do you have another evidence? Is there a direct evidence in the Quran about this? Something that cannot be disputed? Because this is our understanding, you see? This, what you mentioned, it's understood by analysis. You deduct this understanding from the general ayah. But do we have an ayah that is directly, specifically addressing this particular concept or part of Aqidah? We obviously do. It's in Surah As-Saffat. Do you guys remember the discussion between Ibrahim and his father and the people? وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ أَمْتِلْ He said, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَفْعَلُونَ عليكم السلام ها عليكم السلام ورحمة الله أهلا وسهلا ما شاء الله تبارك الله So what did Ibrahim say to them? أَتَعْبُدُونَ مَا تَنْحِتُونَ Do you worship that which you carved on your own? Do you make your God? Is that a logical behavior of anyone with any brain in his brain? If that makes any sense to you? Do you make your own God? You made it. Then you want things from it. That's pretty ludicrous. So he's telling them, he's giving them this rhetorical question, أَتَعْبُدُونَ مَا تَنْحِتُونَ Do you worship the same thing that you carved yourself? وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَفْعَلُونَ While Allah created you and your actions. Done. So that is a direct ayah that is decisive in this matter. Huh?
understood among other evidences like this one, that Allah Azza wa Jal created the creation and created the actions of the creation as well. What is not created is the Quran. The speech of Allah, the book of Allah is not created, is uncreated. Why? Because it's one of the qualities of Allah. And Allah is the creator, He's not created, therefore His attributes are uncreated as well. So that we have to have a proper understanding of, because there's a lot of confusion nowadays about this very basic aspect of our religion. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal spoke the Quran as we read it. Allah spoke the Quran, and Jibreel conveyed that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, al-muhim, the Shaykh said, وَيُحْتَمَلُ أَنَّ الْمُرَاجِ بِالْكِتَابِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. And it could be, now the Shaykh said, the first interpretation of the ayah, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We did not leave out anything in the book. The Shaykh said, this is in reference to the Allah al-Mahfuz, الكتاب الذي هو مع الله عز وجل. Huh? The other possible interpretation is, الكتاب as the Qur'an. وَأَنَّ الْمَعْنَى كَالْمَعْنَى فِي قَوْلِ تَعَالَى وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We are in Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 38. Huh? That we send, that this could be like the other ayah, verily we have sent down upon you the book which has clarification for everything. Does the Quran clarify everything? Surely, either directly or indirectly. Directly by giving you the very answer to a question you have, indirectly by laying down a foundation upon which you can answer many questions. So someone argues that smoking is not haram. There's no ayah in the Quran that says do not smoke. So, hookah, shisha, cigars, BDs. BDs are the ones, the Indonesian cigarettes, the one that can kill 20 people in one puff because of how foul the smell is. It's like the worst type of smell. Anyways, you always see him smoking outside of the supermarket. Then you don't want to go to the supermarket anymore. So there's no ayah that says you cannot smoke any of this stuff. So how do you use the Quran to prove the impermissibility of, or the prohibition of smoking? Because we said the Quran addresses the issues either directly or indirectly. Directly we all know, unless you know an ayah which we don't know, that says do not smoke, share it please. But assuming that we're all on the same page that there's no such ayah, how do you prove from the Quran the prohibition of smoking? Because Allah said the Quran is tibyan for everything, it's a clarification for everything. It has to clarify this important issue nowadays.
When you say do not harm yourself?
Simple. Huh? It says actually do not kill yourselves. Right? And the other ayah, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not destroy yourself with your own hands. That's one ayah. And the other ones, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Verily do not kill yourselves, verily Allah is merciful to you. So do you buy a pack of cigarettes and it says on it that smoking kills, causes cancer and this, and show you funny pictures of people? Surely. Is suicide allowed in Islam, whether it is long term or short term? No. It's not like suicide is not that you just jump off a cliff, huh? Or you know, you jump into a river and you drown yourself. You can kill yourself in the long run, depending on the things that you consume and so on and so forth. All these are prohibitions, prohibited because you're harming, inflicting harm upon the human body, which is Allah's property that He gave us to benefit from and to look after and take care of and maintain. It's an obligation on us to do this towards our bodies. So we cannot harm it in this fashion. This is if smoking only harmed the smoker, that would still be haram. Let alone when the smoking harms the non-smokers, then the smoker sometimes. That's a disaster now. That is where the disaster is. This is where the smoker has to think a million times before he smokes a cigarette anywhere where there are other human beings or creatures, because he's harming a mass number of people that will require from him their right on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because you know, you are the harm provider. The place smells bad. Secondhand smoking is bad for human beings. You know, your lungs will get, congested. Your nose will get congested. You start, spitting phlegm. All types of stuff, you go through. You really don't need it. You don't want to smoke. You don't want to smell smoke. But smokers don't care. As long as he gets his, nicotine, you can die for all he cares. He doesn't care. That's why he will smoke right in front of you in a public place, in a closed, closed environment. Because what is important to him is that addiction that he has. As for the other people, exactly. May Allah guide us and guide them. Now they may not be intending to be so careless, but that's what it turns out to be. Maybe they're nicer than that. But anyways. المهم أي وقوله ثم إلى ربهم يحشرون, then to their Lord they will be gathered. أي جميع الأمم تحشر وتجمع إلى الله في موقف القيامة. So all the nations will be gathered to Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of resurrection, in that particular day. في ذلك الموقف العظيم الهائل, in that tremendous hail is like not, it's magnificent, but not in a positive way. It's like something that is just too much. فَيُجَازِيهِمْ بِعَدْلِهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ, that Allah Azza wa Jal will recompense the human beings as per His justice or His ihsan, His goodness and excellence. Meaning no one will be wrong. Either Allah will deal with people with justice or He will be extra generous towards certain people out of His ihsan. But the one who doesn't get that ihsan cannot complain because he was dealt with justice. You were given your right. It's not like your right was given, taken away and he was given more rights. So you say, hey, it's not fair. He got more. How come my right wasn't given? No, you'll be given your right and others will get extra. From Allah Azza wa Jal, we ask Allah to make us among them. وَيَمْضِي عَلَيْهِ حُكْمُهُ الَّذِي يَحْمَدُهُ عَلَيْهِ الْأَوَّلُونَ وَالْآخِرُونَ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ وَأَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ. And then his wisdom or his judgment will move on and will be executed among his creations, and he will be praised for that by the early people and the latter people, everybody from the time of Adam alayhi salam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. The people will, that's why you see some ayat end with waqira, or the malaika waqira alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. At the end of the day, the people will praise Allah Azza wa Jal for the manner in which He will deal with the creation on Yawm al-Qiyamah, including the kafir. He will praise Allah knowing that he was guilty, that Allah didn't wrong him, gave him many chances, many opportunities, many prophets, many messengers, many reminders, many revelations. Everything was provided to the son of Adam. He's just too stubborn, too busy. Even the kafir will praise Allah for entering Jahannam. He will ask to be taken out, but he will not feel that Allah did him injustice. That's what we need to acknowledge. No person will feel that he was admitted to hellfire wrongfully. The believer and the disbeliever will know that this is because of what we have earned with our own hands. And this applies to Ahlul Samai wa Ahlul Ard, that the inhabitants of the earth are us, and the inhabitants of the heavens are who? Who lives in the skies, heavens? Malaika. You guys are very excited this morning. Take it easy, huh? Ayah number 39. Let's see. Wait. Bismillah, huh? 39, oh yeah. وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا صُمٌّ وَبُكْمٌ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ مَنْ يَشَأِ اللَّهُ يُضْلِلُ وَمَنْ يَشَأْ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. The English equivalent is more or less, but those who deny our verses are deaf and dumb within darknesses. Darknesses. Even though I thought this could not be pluralized. Whomever Allah wills, He leaves astray. And whomever He wills, He puts him on a straight path. The Shaykh says, Rahimahullah. Oops, that's Ibn Kathir. هذا بيان لحال المكذبين بآيات الله المكذبين لرسله أنهم قد سدوا على أنفسهم باب الهدى وفتحوا باب الردى أو الردى. The Sheikh said this is a clarification on the condition of the beliers, those who are the deniers of the ayat of Allah, those who deny and belie His messengers, that they have closed and sealed upon themselves the gate of guidance. Like there's a gate of guidance and they put a block so that it does not reach them anymore. On the other hand, they open another door, the door of destruction. So the door from, or the gate from which guidance comes, they blocked it, and they open another gate which they don't need, that one of destruction, and they're pretty much traveling upon that. وَأَنَّهُمْ سُمٌّ عَنْ سَمَاعِ الْحَقِّ. They are deaf in regards to hearing the truth. We mentioned this before, right? The difference between hearing and listening, and the heart hearing, or the hearing of the heart and the hearing of the ears. وَبُكْمٌ عَنِ النُّطْقِ بِهِ فَلَا يَنْتُقُونَ إِلَّا بِبَاطِلٍ. And they are dumb. Now we usually use dumb as a synonymous term with stupid, right? But also from a linguistic point of view, dumb is the one who's mute, someone who's unable to speak. Yeah. So they are also unable to speak. They don't say anything except when it is falsehood. That's the only thing they're able to utter. Falsehood. فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَيْ مُنْغَمِسُونَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ الْجَهْلِ وَالْكُفْرِ وَالظُّلْمِ وَالْعِنَادِ وَالْمَعَصِي. And they are immersed in the darknesses of ignorance and disbelief, oppression, stubbornness and sinfulness. They are drowning in that stuff. وَهَذَا مِنْ أَضْلَالِ اللَّهِ إِيَّاهُمْ. And this is because Allah has misguided them. Why? فَمَنْ يَشَئِ اللَّهُ يُضْلِلْهُ. Whosoever Allah wills, He will lead astray. وَمَنْ يَشَئِ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Whosoever He wills, He will make him upon a straight path. لِأَنَّهُ الْمُنْفَرِدُ بِالْهِدَايَةِ وَالضَّلَالِ. Because He is the one who is single-handedly responsible for guiding and misguiding. بِحَسَبِ مَقْتَضَاهُ فَضْلِهِ وَحُكْمَتِهِ. And this is a very important qualifying statement. It is not arbitrary. That guiding and misguiding of people is per Allah's bounty, virtue, and His wisdom. It is not based on desires. For example, a teacher in class is asked to nominate 10 students out of 30 to represent the school in some sort of competition. Huh? He has the ultimate decision making. No one's going to oppose his decision. If he were to tell the principal, these are the 10, no one's going to negotiate with him. Say, how come, why, whatever. Now, if he selected those 10 randomly, or because one is his cousin, the other one is his nephew, and one is his neighbor, and the other one got him a gift the other week, and stuff like that, then we say, even though he has that decision-making power to select, he's actually misusing it. And he doesn't have a fair criteria in selection. Versus another one who will select the 10 who are the top 10 students in class with the best qualifications. So when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla, you say, well, you can say, argue, how come He chose these 10 and He ignored the other 20? He'll be able to explain. Well, Fulan, you know, in the last 3 quizzes, he got, you know, less than 70%, and he's been coming late to work, to work. He's been coming late to class for the last, I don't know how many days, and well, we're done with school, okay, so it's not our fault, alhamdulillah. Now we have another school called work, which is sometimes worse than the first school, but I'll tell you about this when you get older, inshallah. Anyways, so basically, he has a reason why he selected whom he selected, and he ignored whom he ignored. And Allah Azza wa Jalla guides and misguides as per His ultimate will. No one can negotiate with that. However, Allah's decision is not arbitrary. It is not based on some irrelevant or unfair practice. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows who is deserving of hidayah and who is not deserving, and then He guides and He misguides accordingly. All right, ayah number 40. It reads,
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ إِنْ أَتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَتَتْكُمُ السَّاعَةُ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَدْعُونَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
The English equivalent, more or less, is, say, have you considered if there came to you the punishment of Allah, or there came to you the hour, is it other than Allah you would invoke if you should be truthful? Now, before we go into the Arabic, let's study some grammar here. I can see the faces are glowing. Yay, grammar! You love grammar, right? He's like, what is grammar? I only know literature. Okay. So why does it say if there came to you, and not, why the past tense and not the present tense? Why came and not come? Aywa. Repeat the verse. This is English right now, your Shaykh, has nothing to do with the verse. Say, have you considered if there came to you the punishment of Allah, or there came to you the hour? If you hear, it doesn't sound right according to the way we speak. If there came, right? You feel that there should be another tense there. Aywa. Why came? We know it's the La ya Shaykh. La ya Shaykh. Marra wahda past tense? Of course it's the past tense. But why the past tense? Because of if. That's why you say, if I were you, I would have done such and such, for example. That's among the reasons. You don't say if I was. But is that the same principle, or did I get confused? I got confused. Forget about was and were. Because both of them are in the past tense, right? But you actually say were, not was. That's just a different topic. Why do we use the past tense and not the present tense? Who knows conditional phrases?
So it's using the past tense? Is that what the ayah says in Arabic? Kul in atakum.
The shirt is there. If it were to
come before, like, you would then accept even that.
Who's speaking? Oh, I'm sorry. What'd you say, Akhi?
He said that, like, if the hour came before also, they wouldn't accept the truth. Like,
so you guys are looking at it from a... not from a grammatical point of view, from a religious point of view, in other words. Meaning, because of the meaning of the ayah, we're using the past tense. Is this correct?
Or the hour is in the present for Allah.
Aha, uh-huh, now we're getting into a deeper. Benji, do you have any answer for this? No? What about the younger ones? I have a recommendation or a suggestion. Let's move on. Okay? So then the Shaykh says, Rahimahullah, يقول تعالى لرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم قل للمشركين بالله العادلين به غيره. That's interesting. Say to the associators in worship with Allah, العادلين به غيره. This is very strange. What is Adil, ya Adil?
Justice.
Huh?
Justice.
صح. Adil is someone who's just, صح? طب here, it says, العادلين به غيره. Say to the polytheists, those who are عادلين with Allah, someone else. I cannot give you the meaning, bro.
Bad behavior,
Adil. Adil is bad behavior. When I see Adil, I'm going to tell him you said that about his name. No, Adil actually means just. But is that the only meaning?
No.
Right. Surah An-Naml, was it? That's one thing. What is the one of Surah An-Naml? I believe it's Surah An-Naml. قُلْ أَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ أَمْهُمْ. Then it says بَلْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. Another ayah, also another ayah. بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. Have you heard this before? Yeah, Shaykh, you guys are يَعْدِلُونَ. I'm going to find it for you. Yeah, there's supposed to be a dal here. Iwa. No one remembers the ayah, akhwan? Help me out in the morning. For Allah's sake. Right there. In Surah, in the beginning of Surah Al-An'am and Surah Al-A'raf, right there. Woman called Musa. No, not this one. Oh my God, I lost it. In the beginning of Surah Al-An'am, huh? That Allah Azza wa Jalla said He created the heavens and the earth. Then He said, and yet there are people who, بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. Here, يَعْدِلُونَ does not mean justice. It means they make equal to Allah something else. They're making that adl, wherein they're giving someone else the right which they're supposed to give to Allah. You understand the principle? It's a little confusing, I know. But it's important for us to understand. Where was I? Aywa. Tahir. So the Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, Naam, أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ إِنْ أَتَاكُمْ عذاب الله أو أتتكم الساعة أغير الله تدعون إن كنتم صادقين. إذا حصلت هذه المشقات وهذه الكروب التي يضطر إلى دفعها أو التي يضطر إلى دفعها, هل تدعون آلهتكم وأصنامكم أم تدعون ربكم الملك الحق المبين. When these moments take place, huh? When you come to the end of time, either you see the punishment of Allah or it is the Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah is asking the disbelievers, say, He's telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to them, when you are in this predicament, are you going to call on your idols and statues, or are you going to call on the ultimate truth, the irresistible subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right now, even atheists, according to some studies, an atheist who does not even believe in God, when a calamity strikes him, he says, God. Especially at the moments of like accidents and death and stuff like that. Then they remember God. Even the heedless people, the disbelievers, when a calamity strikes and there's some sort of flood or tsunami or some sort of disaster, people start calling on to Allah. They look in the sky with whatever aqidah they have and they hope that some divine assistance is given to them at that very moment. So this is the nature of human being. He ignores Allah Azza wa Jal when he's in a good condition, when Allah's given him and providing him. And then when at the time of need and he realizes that there's no other option, then he calls on to Allah. He forgets Allah when he doesn't need Allah, and then he remembers Allah when he's in dire need. That's just the way the son of Adam is. Illa man rahim Allah, except those whom Allah has mercy to, whom he made Muslims, and they just don't think this way. They pray 5 times a day. That's a big difference between the kafir and the Muslim, huh? Imagine someone who prays 5 times a day versus someone who does not pray at all. I mean, you can understand it, the why salah is the fine line between belief and disbelief. And if someone cannot gather himself and exert himself to the point of praying 5 times a day, what iman does he have? Where is the iman that is making him believe in Allah? It's almost non-existent. It's almost non-existent. In fact, according to some scholars, it is non-existent. It is equal to the shaitan. Who knows that there's supposed to be salah? Who knows that there's only one God? Yet he's doing everything opposite to that, wherein he knows he will end up in Jahannam. That's not iman. That's knowledge. So the person who doesn't pray may have knowledge that yeah, there's a God, his name is Allah, he revealed the Quran, there's Yawm al-Qiyamah, there's accountability. That's knowledge. But that's not iman. Why? It did not drive him to establish prayer, to worship this Lord. It becomes meaningless. بَلْ إِيَّهُ تَدْعُونَ فَيَكْشِفُ مَا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ إِنْ شَاءَ وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ الله أكبر. The English says, no, it is him alone you would invoke, and he would remove that which you invoked him if he willed, and you would forget what you would associate with him. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, فَإِذَا كَانَتْ هَذِي حَالِكُمْ مَا عَنْدَادِكُمْ عِنْدَ السَّدَائِدْ تَنْسُونَهُمْ لِعِلْمِكُمْ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. If you know that this will be your condition with your idols, with the rivals you've made with Allah at the time of difficulty, you will simply forget about them. Why? Because you know that they don't possess any harm or benefit. They don't possess or control death, nor life, nor resurrection. These idols that you're worshipping are in no control of any of these things. وَتُخْلِصُونَ لِلَّهِ الدُّعَاءَ. And then you will be sincere to Allah in your supplication. لِعِلْمِكُمْ أَنَّهُ هُوَ النَّافِعُ الضَّارِ. Because you know for sure that it is Allah who is the one who's the one in control, or is the one who harms and benefits. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. الْمُجِيبُ لِدَعْوَةِ الْمُطَّرِ. He is the one who answers the call of the distressed one, the one who is in dire need. فَمَا بَالُكُمْ فِي الرَّخَاءِ تُشْرِكُونَ بِهِ وَتَجْعَلُونَ لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ. If you know then, at the time of need, how you will conduct yourself. So why in the world then, when the situation is easy, are you worshipping these other idols with him and making him equal with him? When you know, when the situation is tough, you will forget about them and go back to Allah. It's a very logical question. If you know this is the situation, why are you wasting your time now? Ma khalas. Worship him all the time, so that you don't have to worship an idol, then when you need Allah, you go back to him, then you go back to the idol. Worship Allah all the time. And you know, be saved. هَلْ دَلَّكُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ عَقْلٌ أَوْ نَقْلٌ. What guided you to that? What directed you to that? Was it your intellect or some textual evidence? And they have neither. It is neither logical, nor was it ever revealed by Allah that someone else would be worshipped to them. Even in the distorted Bible, you will find that when such verses exist, they are simply contradicting other verses which teach monotheism in the Bible. So the least we can say to the Christian who may argue, yeah, well, I found this in our Bible. Because you're telling me here, who told you to do this? Was there any logic behind it or any textual evidence? Yeah. And he will quote, you know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, blah, blah, blah. So we say, okay, sure. I will use this verse to prove to you that your book is confused. Because I can find it 20, 30, 40 verses from the Bible that explicitly prove that there's only one creator, and it is Allah, and that Jesus is his messenger, and that Jesus refused to be called good, let alone God. When someone came to him, a man came to him and said, oh good master, what thing shall I do to enter into the eternal life? Jesus said to him, according to the Bible, why thou call me good? Why are you even calling me good? None is good but one, that is God. If he was the God himself, or the Son of God, he's not going to play games with the people. You don't play games with the people. He tells you, you're good. Say, no, I'm not good. Because God is, Allah is al-mutakabbir. Sahwalala. What is mutakabbir? It's actually arrogance. Because Allah is entitled to this arrogance. Allah has to be majestic, has to be powerful, has to be in this position. These have to be his attributes. If they were lesser than that will make him weak. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is Al-Qawi. So it doesn't make sense. God doesn't humble himself. You don't say to God, you're good, he says, well, ma'alesh, I'm not. You understand what I'm saying? That's what they're trying to say, that Jesus was just trying to be humble. No, Habibi, God is not humble. You humble yourself before God. God is powerful. So we prove to them from the Bible that Jesus denied being good. So if he wants to say that the Bible taught, I say, well, the Bible also taught. So now you have to prove to me which verse is more valid. John 3:16 or that one in Matthew, I believe chapter 10, verses 18 and 19 or something like that. Or 17 and 18. Say, prove it to me. He won't be able to prove it to you. In fact, if he does, we can prove to him that John 3:16 is a fabrication. It is a fabrication. So who wins? We win. But you have to know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, you will lose. And if you lose, you make Islam look bad. That's why don't debate with the Christians unless you know what you're doing. Huh? Don't go into this whole biblical analysis unless you know what you're doing. I'm not saying don't give dawah to Christians. Your job is to give them the message of Tawheed. When they delve into these issues which you're not aware of, you refer someone else. You make someone else who knows what they're doing handle it on your behalf. Don't go into something that would backfire and make them feel that they've proven something right when they have absolutely nothing but falsehood. Be very careful, it's a very slippery slope. Al-Muhim, أَمْ عِنْدَكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ بِهَذَا, or do you have any authority regarding this concept of yours, which is to worship gods, idols, when you're at ease, and then when the time of need you worship Allah alone? بَلْ تَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ, or are you just fabricating lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So with this inshallah, we will conclude the discussion on this particular surah right now. We are at ayah number 41, صح?
Yes.
So inshallah, if we all remain alive and healthy, we will continue on ayah number 42 next week. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.